A U.S. judge blocks rules on embryonic stem cell research, and the ethical merry-go-round begins anew on this controversial issue. Glenn McGee lends some perspective in this edition of the Bioethics Channel. The Bioethics Channel is a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Dr. McGee is the John B. Francis Chair in Bioethics and Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Bioethics. Glenn, I thought this issue was rather settled, but now it's exploded again. Does this court ruling reopen the moral and political debate on embryonic stem cell research?
It's a good question. I'm not sure I ever slept well thinking that the issue had been settled. It obviously comes up. The question of where this money will come from, whether it will continue to be reauthorized so that people are getting money to do stem cell research and eventually so that companies and individuals are doing stem cell research on individuals, it'll keep coming up over and over again. This is a radical shift, though, and it does reopen, to answer your question, the public debate, the political debate, and even in some important ways, the legal and economic debate about what's going to happen in stem cell research, what therapies and research will go forward in the United States and what its role will be, and how we should think about the public and its laws, how we should converse with each other, what responsibilities we owe not just the government when we're voicing our opinion, but also what responsibilities we owe our grandparents, the generations yet to be, the idea of creation. What are our moral responsibilities as a citizenry who are used to mostly exercising those responsibilities by how we, you know, vote with our feet and our dollars rather than with actual political votes? This is such a polarized issue, as you know, that for any of those things to be reopened, moreover, puts our public right back where it was in the last three presidential elections, which is to say, once again, we go into the breach of the very, very interested leading campaigns on this question on both sides. Those who are against and those who are for federal funding of stem cell research are really arguing that they're against and they're for abortion. And I think Americans have tired of that debate, but they are as committed to their previous positions as they ever were.
Are we still struggling somewhat with the idea of this process destroying embryos as part of embryonic stem cell research?
We are. And we're struggling in part because if you could have done a worse job with the regulation of stem cells than the United States has done, you'd have had to consult someone, you know, the authors of the Dilbert cartoon. I mean, there really is. This is a made-for-John Stewart scenario. Why in the world would this judge in this case, or have we for years, tolerated the idea that the researchers who do this stem cell research are themselves destroying embryos? And so around the country from these large academic institutions and among the most powerful ethicists with whom I work, I've heard over and over and over again this claim that it isn't destruction of embryos that goes on in the labs of stem cell research. The destruction goes on in a company that takes care of procuring embryonic stem cells. Many ethicists have gone so far as to argue that, in fact, this is embodied in some policy, that these aren't embryonic cells that are being provided. They're, in fact, just cells of a certain sort. And or to be more specific, that embryo destruction is not implicit, subject to this language, in what the researchers do. And now I'll just put it country simple. John Robertson put it best in an article he wrote in Kennedy Institute of Ethics around 2000. He said point blank, researchers are not culpable for the destruction of embryos. Well, now we've been pulled back 11 years to this old argument about culpability and clean hands. And I hate that. I hated it then and I hate it now. And I and Art Kaplan and a couple of others at the time said we cannot go down this road of ethicists explaining away the fact that we know that this research involves the destruction of embryos by saying that the researchers who do it aren't destroying them themselves. This has resulted in crazy things. Things like, you know, researchers who work in states of Massachusetts and Pennsylvania still, I believe, have laws on the books that make it a felony to kill, as they put it in Massachusetts, an embryo. So what do? They have the research that's done involving embryonic cells done in another state, right? Or the more general plan is to just have your embryonic cells shipped in a plain brown envelope. It's bad. It's not the kind of argument that's made by those who are against stem cell research. And that's the whole thing's so confusing to the public that if you try to simplify it, the best you can come up with is this. We are back to the world where we as ethicists have to choose what it is that we believe. Are we going to stand up and say, yes, this research involves the destruction of what in many cases is material that is derived from embryos, and that most of those embryos so derived come from procreative process. And that's what we do. And we do it because we believe that it will lead eventually to adult-based and drug-based and other kinds of stem cell therapies. Or are we going to play this clean hands game where we say that, in fact, this stuff that we're doing doesn't violate either the spirit or the letter of the law?
Well, let me ask you what might be a naive question, Glenn. Could this ruling serve as an opportunity to flesh out the ethical issues, considering that research has advanced in recent years around adult stem cell research, and people have been researchers have been trying to sidestep the ethical issues for quite some time, in essence trying to do embryonic stem cell research without the embryos. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and it's not a naive question, to be very honest with you. It's a very complicated question, unfortunately, though. And I'm going to try to give the best answer I can as a non-lawyer. Most researchers that with whom I speak who work in embryonic stem cell research in the largest scale institutions in the country, which are pretty well defined at this point, it's kind of shaken out to the big players, say that they are that they find it unfortunate and they are displeased with the fact that the Obama allocation of funds comes attached to regulations that make it all but impossible, if not impossible, to do the work that they want to do in the lab. So believe it or not, the old argument that it would be better to have this money such that regulation would be in place and we could do it better has kind of fallen by the wayside, at least in the big players, because they are very uncomfortable with the way, for example, that in California with its $3 billion stem cell allotment, which is clearly the 10,000-pound gorilla here, in California, those who otherwise were just plugging along are now subject to regulations that really don't much matter to them from a funding point of view because they don't need the money of the federal government for what they're doing. They just slow things down and they mix regulations with the individual states. We've gone for years now with no federal money, so the ship kind of sailed. The second piece is I don't know that adult stem cell research – the distinctions have been made in so many different ways, right? There's the distinction between the so-called embryonic stem cell research and so-called adult stem cell research. And then there are other distinctions. Therapeutic cloning versus reproductive cloning was a big buzzword combination during presidential and even congressional elections. Obviously, the advantage of that was if you could tie the word cloning to something, you could make it sound really bad. You know, people are kind of in a pickle with picking the right words. But whatever words you want, I don't think that we are any more in the position that we were in the last set of presidential political debates, both in the primaries and in the general election, which is to say we got one side that says, well, we should do adult stuff first, and the other side that says embryonic stem cells are obviously the key to moving forward. Everyone understands at this point that these are two radically different kinds of research at a number of levels. To the degree that they mix because adult cells are given the capacities, the multipotency as it's all often used. And I'm not even going to get into potency here because, boy, does that mix it up. Yeah, all right. but what happens in a nutshell is that when adult cells are given the kinds of capacities that we associate with embryos, then the people that were uncomfortable with embryonic research start to get uncomfortable with adult stem cell research. So there's all sorts of stuff that goes on with cells from adults. Nobody can make a clean distinction anymore, and I don't think that where we're headed is, well, you know what, with this big mess, let's just do more adult stuff. And that distinction has worn out, I think, for any intents and purposes, with just a tiny number of exceptions.
Let me ask you then, Glenn, how do you feel at this point, on this date, how this will play itself out?
Yeah, I think that Judge Lamberth, who's a federal district judge in D.C., he's just issued a preliminary injunction. And my friends who work in the area of stem cell research law have, I think, made a number of interesting points very quickly. They've said two things that really stand out. One is those who believe that the decision made by the court, which says that, to quote the judge, research is research, and therefore we cannot the Obama policy effectively then falls by the wayside because it involves the destruction of embryos and thus falls under the Dickey Wicker Amendment, and there's no way around it. Right? I think that is likely to – it might very well withstand further scrutiny on appeal. It might not. I don't know. But this falls into two camps. Many say this is a bad decision. It shouldn't have been made the way it was made. It's a not reasonable reading of the law. But the other interpretation is the one that I think the attorneys who work in this area, the legal scholars, share with others in bioethics, and that is – you know, one, are the courts the right way to decide this? And listen, if you believe the courts the right way to handle stem cell research, then I got a bridge to sell you that runs across the river a few miles away from our bioethics center offices. It just isn't going to happen. Well, justices are neither trained in this area, nor have they in the history of this debate ever given a good ruling. Not one. You cannot cite a single case where a justice has enlightened the debate ever. It just makes things worse. So given that scholars of law are, I think, in accord with those who favor embryonic stem cell research and say it's time to eliminate the Dickey Wicker Amendment, whether you're for or against stem cells, this is a legislative matter. And what does that really mean? What that really means is it comes down to you and me and everybody that we know. And what, frankly, George W. Bush said, very thoughtfully, after having reflected with two bioethicists, Leon Cass and Dan Callahan, he said, this is an issue that he himself was troubled by, did not know what to do about, and thought that Americans should be talking about around the supper table. Now, it's not because I grew up in Waco that I liked the notion of the supper table. It's because it's just, in fact, true. Americans have to wrap their minds around more than just, I want these things for my family, for myself, etc. They've got to wrap their minds around the fact that there's no escaping that human beings now have the power to manipulate creation. And how we take the stewardship of that power, whether we take it seriously or we dismiss it with this language of, well, we have to have respect for embryos. This kind of conversation has to be secondary, I think, to our general discussion about whether we want the federal government in appropriating money for stem cell research to do so in particular kinds of ways. Are we opposed or not opposed to, for example, the federal government funding large-scale stem cell trials for conditions that are not within the scope of, you know, a particular kind of disease or particular severity of disease? Is it okay for the federal government to fund anything in stem cell research as long as other scientists think it's fine? Or is this some exceptional area where there should be special control? Does respect for the embryo literally mean that you have to have a system that, as happens in California, for example, that requires the review of a board who have a detailed conversation not only about the rigor of the scientist, but about the ethics of the research. We don't have anything like that at the federal level. We've got a powerless presidential ethics commission, and you can bet that they'll be charged within the next few hours with reviewing these regulations, and synthetic life's going to fall by the wayside. But whatever they recommend will just be a recommendation. Who you vote for and what you do will now have meaning again in the way that it did when the stem cell thing first emerged, back when the announcements were made in the late 1980s that embryonic stem cells have been cultivated. So I think taking this back to the conversation between intimates and the public, bringing it back to libraries and schools and the places where we debate what it means to be a steward of creation, that's going to be the key. And we have historically, as bioethicists, focused on the federal. If nothing else illustrates how bankrupt relying on the federal government's position can be, this does. We're not talking about a ton of money. We're not talking about an enormous initiative on the part of the federal government. We're talking about a relatively small investment, considering the global investment in California, and the regulatory capacity of the federal government, which is at present so enmeshed in discussions about who can and who can't do this research that they literally can't find their way up to the surface. It's going to be about you and me.
Dr. Glenn McGee is the John B. Francis Chair in Bioethics. He's the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Bioethics. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.